97 FM 710 KEO, Micah McCarty. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault proposing a 2% increase on water bills in Shreveport to fight blight. City Council Member Grayson Butcher joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grayson, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How are
sorry,
y'all?
Grayson Butcher.
Oh,
I said it right.
Stop
I said
that.
It wrong.
Yeah, please.
I know. Well, other city council members call you Grayson Butcher, so that's what I had to say.
When I saw this, Grayson, when I saw this,
that I can't let go.
I got really pibbed up. Why am I paying for your house blight problem because you're a pig? Why do I have to pay for that?
So the mayor called all of us last week to kind of explain once the budget got to us. What exactly this was for. My reaction was very similar to yours, and I shared that with him. You know, I have gone back and forth with two mayors now, and this administration, to their defense, has been somewhat receptive to this about some type of fee on the water bill for public safety where we can get our firefighters and police officers a raise, where we don't keep losing them. And, you know, I am not for new taxes or taxation without representation. I was really, you know, back when we voted the trash fee, you know, I was very critical of that. But I always get told, no, we can't do that. Nobody would want that. And I'm like, you know, safety is number one in my mind. I mean, you can't have a city unless you have safety. And we've made strides. I mean, we've made great strides with what we have, you know, the crime statistics are showing, and these are real numbers, that crime is going down. But in order for us to continue to do that, our police officers need better pay. And really the only way to do that is to put some type of a public safety fee. And I've had a plan. I presented it to two mayors, two CAOs, and just has not gone anywhere. And I was a little shocked to see this 2% pop up, because my initial knee-jerk reaction was very similar to what you're saying. You know, we can't do it for public safety, but we're going to do it to take care of people who are coming here, pretty much robbing our citizens, taking our water, and then we're going to charge you and I to tear down their property. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make a whole bunch of sense. And I guess really retrospectively looking at it, when I said that, I got to thinking, well, we're going to be doing it anyway with our tax dollars. It just may be hot. But regardless, I would prefer us go to the state, and I told the mayor this, go to the state legislature and try to get some laws changed where we could be in first position if like, let's just use, for example, we all know that the Hall of Dome went to Sheriff Sale. There's supposedly a new person that has purchased that. Mm-hmm. We could have been in first position over the mortgage company, but that would take a state law change, which could happen. I believe we have legislators here that understand our problems with blight, and in other cities, you know, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, they all have blight. So I think that could have been something that could have happened and put us in first position, where we would have been able to, if we tore down a building similar to the Hall of Dome, we could have been in first position to get our money back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that.
So this 2% proposition has to go through the council. Does the mayor have the council support on this?
I know. I've talked to a few other council members. The few that I have talked to, you know, this just hit us last week, and it's been kind of a busy week for me, so I've not really been in community, you know, off weeks. We've got a three-week break this time. I really don't talk to my colleagues that much, but I have talked to a couple, and the majority are not happy about it. You know, I just think that exactly what Aaron said, and you know, the mayor, I don't even really think the mayor is really happy about it, but he knows we've got to do something to get rid of the blight, and this is an easy fix. But you know, the problem is we're maxed out on our revenue bonds, on our water. We still have consent decree that's looming over our head. We've got water issues going on in the city of Shreveport. And I can, you know, one council member told me, he goes, you know, look, how can I support this whenever I'm going to call after call about brown water or low water pressure? Or, you know, it's going to be a real hard sell for the council.
If you had to vote on it today, Grayson Butcher, are you a yes or no vote?
I'm a no.
You're a no right now. What would it take to convince you that this is a good idea?
I don't know if you can at this point. I think we ought to be, like I said, working with our state legislators to try to change state law where we can get them first position on most of these properties that are selling. Because look, that are being sold at foreclosure sale, which most of them have. The majority of these blighted properties have gone through the foreclosure sales.
And for those that are just tuning in, Grayson, it's important to note that this is just to address the apartment complexes that they've had issues with for several years now, including fires and indigents staying in these. It's not just a blight across the city.
Right, you're talking more about like the Pines Apartments, which used to be in my district on Vine Avenue, that we've had several fires.
Jolie,
Oak Meadows,
yeah.
Old Centenary, Jolie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let's take Jolie. You know, in your neighborhood there, Aaron.
Yep.
That is a very valuable piece of property. So when it goes
Could
to sheriff
be,
sale
yeah.
for foreclosure, which it probably will if it has not already gone to sheriff sale, somebody's going to pay top dollar for that property. So if we have let's say it cost us $100,000 to tear down those apartments. I mean, and haul it off. We put a lien on it for $100,000. Now the problem is, you know, the mortgage company is going to take their money first.
Sure.
But for somebody to be able to get that property, if we could be in first position as opposed, and right now the state law does not allow it, because that is the first question I asked the mayor. You know, could we get into first position? And he said it would take a legislative change.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we need to be focusing our energies on that and finding the money to take care of these, because rightfully so, the council members that these properties are in, they're the ones getting the calls daily about rats and snakes and vagrants
sure.
and homeless people and all that. So we need to get them down. I'm just not quite sure charging me what my water bill, my wife told me yesterday, was like $175 this month.
Mm-hmm.
And 2% is not a huge amount, but at some point down the road, and it does have a sunset clause on it, the mayor said, once we get all this taken care of, it falls off.
Oh, does that really happen, though, in government? Does that really happen?
No, absolutely not.
We're going to renew this
not.
Because we have this come up now.
Yes, we have another apartment complex we need to fix.
I've got people that off of North Ferry Road that have about 40 pounds of pressure under what they're supposed to have. How do I go to those people and say, hey, I voted for a 2% raise on your water bill?
Yeah.
That's why I held
when
off.
You can't get water.
You know, and, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Before I leave the city council, my goal is to get public safety a raise. That is my goal. That's they need it. They have mm-hmm. to have it for us to be able to fight crime. We talk about the National Guard coming. We talk about this. The reason we're down on officers is because they're leaving us to go somewhere else. Originally, it was because of pay and the working conditions. Well, we've been able with bond issues to help with the working conditions. Now we're getting to the point of where it's just the pay, and we're going to have to do something. And, you know, I may at some point come to the taxpayers and say, hey, look, here's my proposal. We need $5 a month in a public safety fee on your water bill to be able to support that.
Mm.
And, you know, I may be run out of town. You know, it's getting close to Halloween. I may be like Frank out of town.
Good luck passing that next year in an election year. I'm just saying.
I don't think
that's the problem. You got several council members running for re-election.
You do. But I, you know, that is the only thing on a water bill at this point, Aaron, that I can support. I
okay.
cannot support this because we're taking our good money and giving it to bad actors, and I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Grayson Butcher, Shreveport council member, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Y'all have a good morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you missed it earlier, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault did address this very issue with us. Hear what he had to say in about 20 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Busy morning. We'll hear from Mayor Tom Arsenault coming up here in about 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Defending his proposed 2%.
Yes. We've got Dr. Lauren Scott, one of the statewide preeminent economists. He's going to be in town unveiling his new jobs report. But he's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But he said in a soundbite or two that I got this morning, that Shreveport is in line to get a data center. He said everybody's quiet about it because everybody has signed non-disclosure agreements.
Okay, a data center.
I don't know how big. I don't know, you know, what kind of size it would be. I'm surely not the one that they're going. It's going in Monroe, but it would be hundreds of jobs. It would be a big game changer for the community. It would be, you know, decent paying jobs.
And this is, we're getting it or proposed?
No. He is real clear, and hopefully he can tell us what he means. That we're in negotiations, that rumors out there that it's coming, that we're pushing for it. Now, I don't know if it's being pushed from the state level or the local level yet. I'm not sure. What are you looking at? You completely distracted me.
I'm sorry. There's strangers in the hallway. They're standing in our window. I don't know who they are. I'm sorry.
I don't know what I was talking about. Sorry.
He said a possibility, a lot of jobs.
Could be.
It's not for certain.
It's not. It's rumors, and, you know, I hate doing that, but I'm like, well, we're going to have to wait and see. We'll ask him what he knows about it. How much does he know about it?
So it's definitely coming.
Reuben, where's that big stick?
This is awesome.
Hit him with it.
5,000 new jobs.
No. Stop it.
you did throw it at me.
I haven't wiped my nose except twice.
Yeah, I know. I watched you do it.
But, you know, all I can connect in my brain is the Libby Glass plant.
Okay.
The NLEP now owns it. The plan is to tear it down and bring in a new manufacturer or something to create jobs. Right. All I can think of is that might be the big news that everybody's been rumoring about. Is that the big news?
Right. And he's going to be on with us at 8:10.
Yes. Now, he's not in the inside circle, so he doesn't know,
So
He's not going to unveil it, but he's apparently heard the rumors because he put it out there. They're probably cringing that he put it out there. What are you doing?
Right.
But he did.
Okay.
And it could be a game changer.
Now, a data center. Okay.
I'm not for sure what that means.
Is that like an AI?
Well, you know, we've heard of the Meta data center,
right,
which is coming to northeast Louisiana, which is a mega complex.
They said like the size of Manhattan or something.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I don't know that we're getting anything to that extent, but it could be another big game changer. And the other thing it would do is it would diversify the economy even more. Shreveport's been well known for having it. You know, we've got military, we've got medical, we've got manufacturing, got a lot.
That's true.
And this would help diversify us even more.
And
we had
fast
automotive.
Food.
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls. Reuben, get that stick back out, please. We're going to need it today, I'm afraid. But we've got another big guest coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. A couple of big guests.
Yeah.
State Rep Stephen Jackson, who literally used the word moronic in referencing the mayor's 2% surcharge. Not in favor of it.
Right.
Not at all.
Well, so far, we haven't heard from a lot of people who are.
No, we have not.
Now, Lewis was pretty defend. He defended it and laid out some good points.
Mm-hmm.
No more taxes.
Now, the mayor, you'll hear the mayor in about 10, 12 minutes talking about why he thinks it's a good idea. Now, it's only temporary, as he puts it out there.
18 months, I believe.
Yeah, raise your hand if you've heard temporary taxes before and they didn't end up being temporary.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm skeptical. Also in the 7 o'clock hour, we had an exclusive interview with Callie Stevenson.
Callie Stevenson was the young mom who was arrested back in June for apparently horrible living conditions that her young children, but she, this, bless her heart. I mean, she's been working. She had reported these conditions and had been, so it, yeah, we've got an exclusive interview with her coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
She's suing the city. Absolutely. Yeah. She wants to be compensated for everything.
Because the charges were dropped.
Yes, charges were dropped against her, and she says it's ruined her life. I mean, it really has ruined her life. So hear her story. That's kind of interesting coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. So busy morning.
I'm going to go find out who's wandering the hallways out here. Didn't know.
Maybe we do that when we're not live on the radio.
Well,
you know?
I didn't get up and walk out.
Oh, where's the stick?
Oh, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault coming up after the news bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, stop throwing stuff at me. 710 Keel.
Yes.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault broke down his reasoning for proposing a 2% water bill hike to help fight blight, and telling us what it's for. That's coming up right after the break. 1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
You sure you want to jump in this?
Sure.
I was having a lovely wine Wednesday last night, enjoying my cheese and my wine, and then I looked at my email and I saw this 2% surcharge you've proposed on my water bill. To pay for blighted properties in our community. First, let me let you explain why.
Well, we have the blighted properties that we're targeting are these apartment complexes where we continue to have fires and danger to the public as well as being eyesores. And they're very expensive to demolish. And we simply don't have the money in the general fund to demolish these buildings. And but several council members are interested in demolishing these buildings. So we just have to set a priority and determine if this is a priority that we'll need to provide the funds to pay for it.
So this is not like downtown buildings. This is specifically geared toward these apartment complexes, or is it blight overall in residential areas?
No. It is geared toward about 6 apartment complexes.
Will they be specifically named when this goes before the council?
Probably not, because I don't know that I could say that's the universe of apartment complexes that will need to be dealt with.
Okay, would any properties downtown possibly be demolished with this funding?
I can't think of any, no.
Okay, is this only temporary for 18 months on my bill?
Yeah, the whole point is that this creates the fund to do this demolition, and it'll have a sunset provision in it, and I plan to keep to that plan.
But you might not be reelected next year. What about the next mayor if he says, we're in the books? Could that happen?
Then you can criticize the next mayor.
That's not on you. Mayor, I had a question on the,
when does this go before the council, and do you think you have support?
I have called the council members primarily to advise them that this was going to be in the proposal. I didn't want this to be a surprise to them. I have not asked for their support yet, because there's a lot of details that have to be fleshed out between now and the time that we pass the budget.
Okay, I my train got re-railed. What about going to the property owners? I know it's a legal issue and it would be expensive, but can we not fine the property owners, or if they fail to maintain the property, can the city not take the property over Are there other avenues that we could pursue other than putting it on the taxpayers' burden?
We have pursued all the avenues. That's what we've been doing over the past several years. And we're behind mortgages on most of these. So, yes, we have the ability to place a lien on the properties, but that doesn't put us ahead of a mortgage. So if the property, if we foreclose on our lien and we've torn down the property is probably not worth what's owed on the mortgage, and therefore we'd be behind the mortgage holder and would not recover our dollars.
Mayor Arsenault, the one thing that I like about this proposal, and I don't like much, as you probably have heard already, is that you are proposing this heading into an election year. So it lets me know directly, this is not politics. This is something in your heart that you firmly believe in. That part of this I love, because no real politician would ever propose a fee increase or any kind of tax increase headed into an election year. It must be what is on your heart as to what is best for this city.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate the encouragement. The main thing that I think is important in this is a priority decision that really is going to be made by the city council. If we want to tear these buildings down, we have to find the dollars to do it, because otherwise we'll use all of our demolition dollars on these complexes and we won't be able to do the good things we've been doing in the good things that we have been doing in the neighborhoods. So we simply don't have the money to do that. So that is what we're doing, and that's what the council still have to make a priority decision. If they want us to pursue the avenues we've been pursuing, which have not resulted in the demolition of these eyesores and dangers, then we won't pass. The council will not pass on this. And if they do want to do that, then we'll have a temporary. We chose a percentage as opposed to a flat dollar fee, so that it could apply to all water bills and would be less regressive than a flat fee.
Okay, could it be used to tear down a dilapidated structure in Highland that's become a danger?
Well, what it would do, it would make sure that we had the money to do that, which we currently have funds to do, but we cannot do both of those things.
Okay. So instead of taking the money from your demolition fund to tear down the apartments, you can use those dollars for those needs in neighborhoods. I guess that's what I'm hearing.
Mayor, at one point you had possible somebody looking to purchase the properties on Centenary or
I think that is still in play, and of course we're going to try and work with the lenders for these I think we've demolished one, so the three of these complexes are owned by the same delinquent owner, and they're not going to cooperate, and they are out of state, some cases out of the country, so we don't really have a means of collecting those dollars. So if we want to tear those buildings down, we'll have to tear them down at our expense.
Do you know the city's average water bill?
That was,
ma'am.
Yeah.
Do you know the city's average water bill for the average resident?
No, I think this ends up being less than Tom Dark did some analysis of what that would cost, and it's for most people on the minimum, it's less than a dollar a month.
Why not pull this money out of your reserve fund to use for this?
Because we made a commitment for an 8% reserve, and that is appropriate when you're 64% dependent on sales tax for your operating budget.
So when is this going to be proposed, and when will this be on our bills?
It would start January 1st.
And it goes before the council at the next meeting. They start working on the budget. This is part of the budget.
No,
so
we'll have an ordinance. We'll have an ordinance prepared. There's a lot of details that will go into this. The budget has to be passed by December 15th, and that's what we would plan. That's the timing that we would plan on this proposal.
Okay. I thank you for being willing to jump on the air with us, because I was having major pibbing this morning. Major pibbing.
Well, I'm glad to have the opportunity to explain it. That's why I said I would be happy to talk to you on air.
I appreciate it.
I do have a quick question, Mayor. You said the properties wouldn't be named. Why not? Why not full disclosure and transparency on what the properties are and where they would be?
Because there may be some that we need to do during that time period that are not on the list right now.
Apartment complex that starts to deteriorate and starts to become a hassle.
Correct.
But you're pledging today this money that we're going to pay on our water bills would go toward demolishing dilapidated apartment complexes that are a danger.
Absolutely.
Okay. Clears that up.
It does clear it up.
I feel a little
Thank
better.
Thank you so much.
I feel
right.
a little better.
It's not just a standard.
I'm glad your blood pressure is down.
Yes.
Well, but it did bring up a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. It, was this a standard blight, you know, initiative tax as opposed to this? No, this is designed specifically for something.
Why am I cutting my neighbor's grass because they won't do it?
Right.
You know, this is different.
The budget includes some increases for blight, but all that's within the current tax structure.
All right. Thanks for jumping on, Mayor.
Asking questions and getting them answered.
You bet.
That's what we're here for.
Super. Thank y'all very much.
Thanks.
Mayor, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
What made you ask about hummus? How do you spell hummus?
H-U-M-M-U-S.
Oh, okay. U-S.
Yeah. Whoever invented it should be, gone.
Who invented it? Did somebody invent it?
People are going to be mad at me for this because there's lots of people who love hummus.
My wife loves hummus.
It's not for me.
I don't get it. It just seems kind of like wallpaper paste.
Yeah, like I'm eating flax seeds. I'm like, just let me eat another bottle of flax seeds. It tastes like, cardboard.
Why are you guys eating crazy? Flax
seeds. You're a hummus fan?
I'm a big hummus fan. I like hummus and the pita chips and the bread and everything. Yeah, you just got to throw some garlic and some olive oil in it, and it's real good.
It tastes like paste. Like I'm a second grader eating the glue.
You didn't like glue?
That's what it is. People who ate glue eat hummus.
Boy, that explains a lot.
Okay, that's who eats hummus.
That wasn't glue, it was paste.
Yeah.
To be honest, it was paste.
Do they still make that stuff?
Oh, yeah, the Elmer's, yeah.
Right out of the jar with the little...
With the little stick
thing on the lid. Little paintbrush thingy.
I haven't seen the jar in a long time. Usually you get the squeezy bottle.
Yeah. I know, I like the Elmer's squeezy bottle when you'd put it on your fingers.
Oh, yeah,
and then
let
you
it
could
dry.
Peel it off. Yeah, that was... And looked like you had skin.
How did we get off on this? What happened?
I don't know. I was looking at pictures of hummus, and it looks disgusting. You have to admit it looks disgusting.
Well, look, we're Louisiana. We're the home of food that looks disgusting and is amazing.
You're right. Who would look at a crawfish and decide to pop the tail off of it and eat it?
You ever look at a bowl of gumbo? Yeah.
Yeah. You got a point.
Although, the first time I ever saw hummus, we were at Micah's, and they have a Publix. And we were going to the grocery store.
Yes.
And we were going to the beach that day. So Micah said, we got to stop and get a Pub Sub.
Okay.
That's apparently a big deal in Cocoa Beach.
Okay.
Is where we were. And so I'm like, I love subs anyway. I love Subway. I love the sandwich. And so we're standing in line, and they've got a whole deli section in the Publix. And Aaron, there's a line. People in their beach gear and holding their stuff, getting these sandwiches.
Oh, man.
And so, but we're standing there, and of course, it's in the grocery, and there's an aisle. But there was all kinds of hummus. Yeah. But then they even had a chocolate.
What?
A chocolate flavored. There was
that sounds gross.
That's disgusting.
I draw the line.
Different like green chili hummus or red, you know, all different kinds of flavors.
Don't say red velvet hummus, please.
No,
don't
it wasn't
say
red
that.
Velvet. It was something I can't think off the top of my head. But
oh, that's gross!
All different kinds of flavors, even a chocolate flavored.
Oh
hummus.
No, I'm sorry. And people are going to message me. What is wrong with you? You don't like hummus? I don't know. But I'm
See, blueberries, love the flavor mm-hmm. of blueberries, but I can't pop one in my mouth and...
Really?
There's something weird about the texture and popping one of them in your...
Oh, I'm eating blueberries daily now. It's in my daily nutrition plan.
Right,
so,
yeah. Well, they're supposed to be a superfood.
Oh, absolutely. Those and raspberries and blackberries every day now. I'm eating a little bowl of that.
Yeah.
That's kind of my sweet treat, so... Yeah, I'm okay with it. Put a little Splenda on them, and yeah, it's good. Not Splenda, sorry, Stevia.
Stevia.
Oh, yeah. Mine's Frosted Flakes. That's my sweet treat.
So no hummus for me.
No?
Yeah, no. Not a fan.
I've got to take this back to the store then. Wasted that money.
Oh, man.
It's just bean dip with chickpeas. I don't get it. I don't know what the big deal is.
I'm not eating bean dip either.
I love bean dip.
Yeah.
Wow, who doesn't? Yeah,
no.
Come on.
No. I need some cheese or something.
Bean dip and chili cheese Fritos.
Yeah, there you go. Cheese Fritos.
How come they don't make the big scoops in chili cheese flavor in Fritos?
I don't know.
I have a complaint. I need to call Frito-Lay.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, and I need to do a quick thank you to Ruth. I finally have a VCR.
Yay!
I was tucked in on my couch yesterday watching Grumpy Old Men and the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, good.
On VHS.
And
it was a good old time. Thank you, Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Jackson going to join us after the news, top of the hour, giving us his thoughts on this 2% water fee to help fight blight. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Mayor Tom Arsenault. You heard from him just a little bit earlier. He spoke with us yesterday about his proposed 2% fee that he wants to add to Shreveport water bills. And when we first heard about it, you first saw it and it said to fight blight. And it raised a lot of questions. But it's not exactly to just go through neighborhoods and clean up and us particularly paying to mow somebody's yard or whatnot. It's specifically for the apartment complexes that have caused so many problems in our city.
Right.
Including firefighters being hurt and homeless camping out and doing what all in these apartments, causing fires and trouble and more destruction. So.
It's a danger. It absolutely. Now, we need to say this proposal from Mayor Arsenault is only for 18 months.
Right.
It's a temporary, I'm going to call it a tax, because it does increase our bills. But there are people who in the community who say, why should we be responsible for someone's neglect?
Right. We talked with Grayson Butcher, and he was...
Firm no.
Firm no.
Now, it's not a decision...
Quoting him.
Yes, not a decision from just the mayor. The council will have to approve this, and we are heading into an election year. So I don't see any of the council members who are running for re-election. I would be surprised if they would support a 2% surcharge on a water bill, because there are going to be people in the poorer communities who are living paycheck to paycheck.
Well,
this is going to be tough.
And Grayson brought up a great point. He's a lot of people in his district. We've had so many problems with water in Shreveport the past several months.
Yes.
And he said, I've got people in my district now that have 40% water pressure and complaints of brown water.
And I'm going to go tell them I'm raising their bill.
And now we're going to raise the water bill.
And it's not even helping the water. Right. It's not connected to fixing the problem at all. That's just, that's a problem. And it really is something. I don't know how you sell it. I don't know how you sell it when your water's not pristine and you don't have great pressure all over town.
Right.
Where was I the other night? I was out and I could tell I was getting Shreveport City water because it tasted muddy. And I thought, this just tastes muddy. Right. And I don't like that. And I know restaurants hate serving it. They hate putting it out on the table if the water's tasting muddy. But it costs too much to provide bottled water to people because water you typically serve at your restaurant for free. And, you know, if you're having to buy it, bottled water, and then pour it into your glasses, it's costing you money. Maybe you charge me a little bit for the bottled water, and I'd buy that. But most of us are used to getting free water when we go out to dinner.
But then if you ice it down with the ice made from city water, it melts into your...
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Bottled water.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Well, we're hoping to connect with Steven Jackson. Maybe we can take a break now, and then we'll hook up with him, you know, after the break. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
We'll connect with him. We're gonna have to call out the the Pony Express to go wake him up. Something like that.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Kelly Stevenson, you might remember Kelly. She was arrested back in June for living conditions with her children in the apartment complex, but turns out the charges were dropped. Callie had made reports to the landlord about these living conditions. Callie, first of all, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You are so welcome.
You have decided to file suit against the city for the arrest and the actions that were taken against you. Explain why you made the decision to file suit and who are parties to the lawsuit.
Well, it was decided to go ahead and file the suit because I just want to say after everything was over, that, you know, I was going through a lot and I still am. Like, this took a big hit to my character. And I, you know, I was like, what about the next people? I thought about other people as well because along this process, I went through a lot of things that I didn't deserve, and a lot of other people can go through as well. And I feel that it just shouldn't stop with me. Like, when it comes to tenant rights, we have to fight for that. When it comes to maternal injustice to mothers incarcerated, we have to fight for that as well. And when it comes to justice for police misconduct, we have to fight for that also. And I feel that this was God's opportunity to speak through me for others who have been silenced. So I'm stepping up to just basically give us all justice as well as myself. You know, this has really caused a big setback on my life. Like, I'm okay and I'm making it, but I have my days that I feel hurt from this. I haven't been able to go back to work. Everyone publicly knows me. And, you know, I'm in a new home and, like, I got out of eviction court yesterday, and basically eviction court ruled in favor of Village Square. And now the credit that I work hard to get fixed is going to be right back messed up due to those same apartments.
So who's listed?
Who are you suing?
Who's listed in the lawsuit, Callie?
Shreveport Police Department and Village Square Apartment.
Okay. What could solve this for you if somebody from the legal team at the city called you and your lawyer and said, hey, we want to do this, we want to settle this, what would it take for you?
Ideally, I just want something that's reasonable. I'm not just trying to, you know, be super crazy, but I just feel that it's something that was reasonable because I paid $3,000 a bond. I spent 7 days in jail. And when I got my bond money back, I didn't get my full bond money back. And basically, now I owe them $1,700 on an eviction. now my credit's going to be messed up. Like, my life just isn't the same. And I just want it to be fair. I just want it to be something that I can do something with to maybe build a better future for me and my kids.
Talking with Callie Stevenson, who was arrested in June. Callie, tell us how all of this got started. How did the police even get involved? Who reported abhorrent living conditions?
So basically, it just got started because me and my kids father were having a disagreement over the PlayStation. But, you know, it's the kids using to watch TV because the TV's an older model TV. And, you know, they have that's the only hookup they have for it. And basically, the dispute arose because he was wanting to leave with it. And I could not let him leave with it because that, you know, that I was also, as I was telling the officer, in the process of getting my mortgage loan officer license. So I really had a lot going on that I was working toward completing. And basically, he wanted to leave with the game. So we was just trying to solve things amicably. In between the process, him and my family, some of my family members were into it, too. So it was just getting out of hand.
Now, the police arrested you for neglect of children. Was that the charge?
Neglect of family.
Neglect of family. And the district attorney decided not to pursue those charges against you. But it left you... I didn't realize 7 days in jail. I didn't realize that. Would an apology from the city be something that you would require in this as well?
See, that's only fair because I didn't, like, throughout this whole process, I didn't do anything. Like, I'm just really a victim of everything that didn't work in my favor, like trying to move, coming to the city to the report the apartments, coming to everybody to report them, Section 8, and nobody stepped up and did anything for me. And now I took the file for it.
All right. What's the status of the lawsuit? You have filed. What's the next step?
In the press conference yesterday, my lawyer did mention that they have sent something out for litigation. But he is trying to see if they want to settle outside of court. First, if they're not willing to, then they're going to seek legal recourse.
Talking with Callie Stevenson. Callie, the young mom who was arrested in June. So you've got a new place. You've got a new job. Give us an update on where your life and how your life is now.
So I have moved to my new place. I'm still working on getting things together. I was donated furniture, but, you know, there are other things like to get together as well. I haven't been able to go back to work because I don't really like too much public attention out now, because every time I go to somebody, like, a lot of people do recognize me, and it's just a different feel for me, on top of me not being able to regulate my emotions. And with the type of work that I do, it's kind of mentally that I need to be on game 24/7.
Wow. Well, thanks for giving us the update. We wish you all the best, and keep us posted on the lawsuit, please.
You're more than welcome, Ms. Aaron. Thank you guys for having me. Guys, have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Callie. We appreciate your time, and we'll stay on top of the story. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, apologies for promoting Steven Jackson.
We hope he will be with us here in the next few minutes. We'll see. He's got to wake up. That alarm's got to kick in. Somebody that knows him, that has his 911, tell him we're looking for him here in the next few minutes. So,
yeah, because he posted quite the quite the comment on Facebook concerning the 2%.
He's not a fan.
Fee
he's definitely
on the water bill.
Not a fan. I asked you this morning, and it was brought up because I saw hummus, and I have a dear friend who loves hummus,
And Reuben loves hummus.
Mm-hmm. Now we know what's wrong with Reuben, but I was wondering.
Well, he ate paste, obviously.
Yeah, he did eat paste. And I was wondering. I was talking to a friend the other day, and it happened in my life too. Things when you go through where your life situation changes, and like my ex, when we were together, he wasn't a real big fan of sweet potatoes.
Okay.
And it's okay. So we just didn't have sweet potatoes. And I love sweet potatoes. And when we were going through a divorce, and I could start cooking sweet potatoes again. And my kids love them because we have a family sweet potato dish that was made in my family for years and years and years. And anytime we had Christmas dinner, even if my husband at the time was with us, he would just pass on the sweet potatoes, but my kids
right,
would eat them.
Sure.
And they were sweet. They tasted like candy. I mean, they were delicious.
Sounds to me like he would have been outvoted anyway.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, when you're cooking and, you know, you know your husband's not going to eat it, you know, you'll make something else. You'll find something else, which is fine. But after we were divorced, then I got to making sweet potatoes again. And I wondered, was I the only one? And a friend of mine said the same thing for her. She says her husband doesn't like something particular, so she doesn't make it anymore. And do you have something your wife doesn't make because you don't like it?
Well, I'm not a fan of English peas.
Okay.
At all.
So she just doesn't serve it to you?
I will gag.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if I put them in my mouth and I will have a physical reaction.
Like the peas out of a can?
Yeah.
Or frozen?
Just English peas.
Any of them.
Now, if they're mixed in with like
carrots or something,
fried rice or whatever.
Peas and carrots?
Yeah. I mean, I can eat them.
Okay.
It's weird.
So she doesn't ever make them.
But there's a can. I saw a can in the cabinet just this week.
So
if she wants them, she's more than welcome to have them.
But she hasn't served them to you anymore.
No.
She knows better.
No, that's not she knows better. It's just, why waste it?
Yeah, you're going to throw it away, right?
I'm not eating them.
They'll just sit on your plate. And I wondered if that's common in a lot of marriages. If you just, there's just something.
I mean, I don't tell her, you can't make these.
Right, exactly. Oh,
then,
yeah.
Then I'll have nothing but English peas in the fridge.
Right, I'm not saying my ex-husband said, don't make.
Right,
no, that
right.
never happened.
Yeah.
But once you realize somebody doesn't like it,
right,
won't
right.
appreciate it, why do it? You know, why go to the trouble? So I was curious if that was uncommon.
Probably not.
And, I think and like it's probably true.
Yeah.
Because if my other half was making something and made hummus, I'd be like, have you lost your mind? I hate this stuff. Why are you wasting your time making that?
Call Reuben.
Yeah, Reuben will eat it. Yeah.
He's not leaving the house. He's watching his VCR.
Exactly. You did find a VCR, right?
I did find a VCR. Thank you very much to Ruth.
Okay.
Who gifted me a lovely VCR-DVD combo.
And it works.
Works amazingly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Watched Grumpy Old Men and the Beverly Hillbillies last night. And it was a great time.
Ruben, you just don't fit with your generation.
I know that, right?
Yeah,
I know.
I was born in the wrong time.
You really were.
With his James Brown t-shirt and listening to...
Watching the Beverly Hillbillies. Did you hear him say
yes.
that?
Yes.
Oh, some early episodes, too, before the theme song was a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It had a different name the first episode, too.
I think so. And I can't remember what it was.
Really?
I was watching it the other day, and I watched the very first episode, and it was a different name. It was the Hillbillies, I think. Or just the Hillbillies of something. I forget what they called it, but if you go watch the very first episode,
right.
you'll see. And, yeah, that's a funny show. That's a funny show.
Oh, it's aged very well.
It's still very funny. It really has. It's very funny.
And when you go back and look, Granny probably was like 40 years old.
Oh yeah, nice makeup, and they did her old.
Put her bun, her hair in that bun.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great show. It really is, no doubt.
Some possible exciting economic news for our area.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
I don't know if anybody's going to say anything about it yet because they don't want to jeopardize anything, but there was a leak. And we have the leaker coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Dr. Lauren Scott joining us, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. The leaker.
I think I could call him something else.
Huh? Wait, I think he just canceled.
Yeah, I probably did.
710
yeah.
Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Do you have that Facebook page in front of you?
I can.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Okay.
Since we will reschedule yep. State Rep. Stephen Jackson, because he's got some strong opposition to the mayor's 2% surcharge on our water bill.
And we put up, the Shreveport Mayor, Tom Arsenault, has proposed a 2% fee increase on Shreveport water bills, mm-hmm. and that is it's an 18-month temporary fee to go toward demolition of these apartment complexes that have been such a blight and eyesore and danger mm-hmm. in our community.
When I first saw it, I was worried about, is it for cutting grass that stuff's overgrown? Is
right.
It just tearing down homes in the Highland area? You know, what specifically is it going to be used for? And he says this is specifically used for demolishing those apartment complexes that are dangerous.
Right.
And here's the thing. And if you miss the mayor, you can listen to it on our podcast. But the mayor says, we have a fund. We have a bucket of money for doing demolitions. Mm-hmm. Like in a burned out house, if it sits there for too long, we can take it to court, adjudicate it, and then demolish it. We have a bucket of money for that, to do that. The apartment complexes, he says, are a different animal. They're very costly to demolish. They're big. They mm-hmm. take big crews. They take a lot of stuff to haul off. Kinds of work. That's way more than just demolishing one home. And he said if they used their demolition money on the apartment complexes, it would suck that fund dry, okay? And they would have no money to do any other demo work across town. So they're working for finding a solution to demolishing these apartment complexes. And this is what they came up with, a surcharge on our water bill for 18 months only. But there are people, and I'm one of them, who is concerned about, because many of these apartment complex owners are millionaires. They're well off. And they're just avoiding us.
And have hidden themselves
yes.
and are either out of town or out of country.
Right. And if you do the demolition work and then you try to get the money from them, as the mayor told us, you're second in line behind the mortgage. You know, if they owe Chase Bank $1 million on that apartment complex and then all you can sell it for is $800,000, well, Chase Bank is going to get the $800,000. And the city is not going to get any money for the demolition because it didn't sell for anything more than what the mortgage was owed.
Right.
So that's the problem.
Even if we could get in second in line, he was saying.
Right, exactly.
There may be other creditors.
There might be another mortgage. There might be two mortgages on the property.
Right.
And you're behind the mortgagers or whatever it's called. So that's the problem. So that's why he wants to put this in. He says for a year and a half, this will bring in $3 million, which they could use to demolish these apartment complexes. But as Stephen Jackson wrote on his Facebook page, a lot of people feel this way.
He says, and I quote, "Here's an incredibly moronic idea. Make us pay extra for others' willful neglect instead of using it to actually upgrade the water system itself. Once torn down, I'm sure the surcharge will never roll off the bills."
That's the problem. And I got another comment just a moment ago that's interesting, and I hadn't thought about this. What assurance that the city will be able to get permission to do the demo? The mortgage holders, the owners, will not likely cooperate. Then you have expensive lawsuits. If you're Chase Bank mm-hmm. and you own the Jolie Apartments, would you rather try to have somebody come in and refurb it? Or would you be okay with the city tearing it down? What's more valuable to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question.
But even Grayson Butcher said yesterday, that is valuable property.
Mm-hmm.
Not even counting the apartments, but that property location. geographically is a valuable location.
And it's on a body of water. I mean, imagine if you put a nice ritzy complex in there, and it's on a body of water. People could put in little piers. They could, you know, put a little canoe out there, kayak, and get in that, the Quail Creek is what it's called, I believe. You could do something really nice in there if you wanted to. Problem is, in that part of town, would somebody invest that kind of money to do that? I don't know. I'm curious. But I'm kind of still on the fence with this with regard to why do I have to pay to tear down a millionaire's property? Why is it going to be on my bill?
Right. Yeah.
And if we do end up getting money back from these people, can you refund me that money? Is there a way that I could get that money back? It's going to be a decision the city council is going to have to make.
Coming up after the news, top of the hour, possible exciting economic news for our area. Could we be getting a new data center? And somebody said when we were talking about this earlier that the old Selbers building is a data center.
Ah, okay.
Did not know that.
Interesting.
But could we be getting a new one?
Yes.
Dr. Lauren Scott, an economist, kind of broke that news yesterday, or broke that rumor, we'll say.
Right, right. It's not in, nothing's done.
Nothing's confirmed at all.
Nope.
But we'll talk with him after the news, top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We're going to make the Rebel this weekend. I've already been told.
Yeah, definitely.
we didn't get there last weekend, so we are definitely going this weekend.
There's a big drum contest going on tomorrow, and my drummer is in it.
Really? Nice.
That's where we're going.
Kyle King, the drummer for Opossum, Where Art Thou? Check him out.
Wow.
I would go tonight, but we've my son's coming into town, and we've got plans. We're going to go see Billy Bob Thornton tonight. Hmm.
It's at the Strand, right?
No.
Margaritaville. That's right.
We've got tickets. My wife gave him tickets, I think, for Christmas. And then he called me earlier this week and says, hey, you want to go? I'm like, well, sure.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun.
Because we were big Sling Blade fans.
Yes.
But also, the movie with him and Bruce Willis, Bandits.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
That is a good movie.
Oh my gosh,
wow, the last time I saw that was on TV 100 years ago.
Supposedly based on a true story.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys that would go to a bank manager's home the night before and kind of kidnap the family and go take us in the morning to go rob your bank.
Wow, wow.
And there was one line in there that I almost fell out of my chair laughing so hard, because apparently Billy Bob Thornton is kind of OCD, like bad.
Oh,
and
I believe
that was incorporated into this character.
Hmm.
And it was very good movie. But when he's doing his music stuff, don't ask him about film stuff.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, he gets mad.
He's real particular.
Really?
I like to keep my film projects separate from my music projects. I saw an interview with him.
Interesting.
Somebody started asking him about something else, and he kind of got a little testy.
Wow. Well, he's in one of the most popular shows of all time right now, The Landman. It's huge.
And he does such a good job. He's weird. Now, he's a weird duck.
He is a weird duck.
But my gosh, he's a talented actor.
Yeah. You remember when him and Angelina Jolie were together and had vials of each other's blood around their necks?
Yes. Yes.
What the hell?
We're ducks.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That sums it up.
Yeah, definitely.
But I still enjoy him because he hasn't come out. He may be far left. But if I don't know it, I can ignore it.
Right.
And I can still enjoy
his work. I did not know he was in a band. I had no clue.
The music's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's kind of rock and roll-y, country-leaning-ish sort of a vibe.
Good old-fashioned, yeah.
Hmm.
Looking forward to it. When Casey first asked me, I had to kind of look it up on YouTube.
Right.
Go,
yeah.
What am I
yeah.
in for? But I was like, oh, this will be fun.
I know, because you're normally listening to Bad Bunny.
Yeah. I've got all of his... 8 tracks.
Yeah. Bad Bunny doesn't know what an 8-track is, Mike.
Dr. Lauren Scott, economist, joining us after the news, top of the hour, talking about the jobs report and possibly good news.
Mm-hmm.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. FM 710 Kiel. Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Economist Dr. Lauren Scott joining us. Dr. Scott, good morning. Hello?
Dr. Scott, you there?
There we go.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
And I'm not on the board today, so it's not my fault. Yeah. Dr. Scott, thanks for... Ruben's on the board, but he's the pro. I'm not holding it again. I'm glad he's there. You're presenting a jobs report. Tell us, what can we look forward to?
Well, I think you can look forward to a good-looking 26 and 27, and if a couple of things happen, you're going to have an extraordinary 26 and 27. Right now, we're forecasting about 5,600 new jobs for the Shreveport metropolitan area over the next 2 years. You just got a lot of early sight. I'm actually driving around the port of Caddo Bossier right now and seeing all the economic activity out here. You know, more than 1,000 jobs here at your port. And I would argue that one of the primary reasons that the Red River Waterway is kept navigable between here and the Mississippi River is because of all this economic activity at the port. So there's a lot of folks all along that river that depend upon all this economic activity occurring here. But some of your basic companies are doing very well. The Cyber Research Center is continuing to grow, and they're at over 1,000 jobs now and have a project in the wings that could add another 750 jobs. We're really keeping our fingers crossed about that one. And then you've had some real surprises on the positive side. The Amazon Center, which when they first talked about it was going to be about a $200 million facility, turned out to be $1 billion, was going to hire, I think, 400, and I think they're up to 1,000.
They're up to 2,000, I'm told.
You're right. I'm driving in the car, so I'm sorry, I missed that. You're exactly right. And the other was SLB out at the old General Motors facility, who is started out, saying they're going to hire 400. I think they're up to 800 now. And there's about a third of the General Motors space still available out there. And I think be watching that, because I think there's a real good chance you're going to get something coming in there soon.
You mentioned in an interview with the Louisiana Radio Network that Shreveport, there are a lot of rumors about Shreveport possibly getting a data center. What do you know about that? What are we hearing, and what kind of timetable are we looking at?
I'm hearing probably the same thing you are. Everybody that's working, matter of fact, I was at a luncheon table with somebody from the Department of Economic Development, and somebody asked that question of her, and she just zipped her lips up. They are under very strict NDAs right now about talking about data centers, but everything I'm hearing indicates that that if there's the next announcement may come up in your area here. So I'm kind of hoping, if not by year end, by the first quarter, we might hear something positive about that. And if you want to see what the impact of one of these is, just kind of look what's going on in Monroe right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That it's unbelievable. That Meta data center that's coming in over there, which is about $10 billion, may go to $50 billion. Entergy is building two power plants right beside the two power plants.
Mm-hmm. One estimate is that if it stays at this $10 billion level, it will increase electricity demand in Louisiana by 15%. They're humongous.
We're not talking about a data center to that size for Shreveport, are we?
You may not be. I mean, they come in all different sizes. I don't know if you'll get one that big, but for example, there is one going in down in St. Francisville that's more on the order. It's about a $10 billion one, too, but I think it's generally smaller in terms of employment and that sort of thing. We're not expecting the same thing to happen in St. Francisville that's happening in Monroe right now. There's a hotel in Monroe that just got renovated. I think it's a 5-story hotel that is now leased up for 5 years already.
Wow.
The guy owns a tire company. He said, I can't keep tires in my store. They're going like crazy. So Monroe is going to be kind of like a gold mining town during the gold rush days.
That's exciting too.
Very exciting because that's one of the poorest areas of our state. That Mississippi Delta is just desperately needing something like this. It hasn't had anything in a long time. Monroe actually has fewer people employed today than in 2002. So this is exactly what they needed to get kick-started again.
Economist Dr. Lauren Scott, you mentioned 5,600 jobs coming to our area. What sectors can we look for? What growth are we looking for? Where are those jobs going?
Well, they're going kind of all over. One of the things we have kind of half, if this makes any sense, halfway built into our forecast is that where I'm sitting at the port right now, we have been looking at a project for probably 5-6 years now called Bahia Energy. This is a methanol plant, that would be built out here. This is a $2 billion project. And they just upped their lease out here for the land they want to use. They will have to make a decision before the end of 2027 if they're going to get the tax credits that the federal government is offering them. So a project that we've been watching for a long time is going to have to make a decision in the next 24 months. And everything I'm hearing is that it is still going forward and it is going to happen. So we kind of built that into the project. There's a lot of construction projects that are underway. You did well in terms of road construction money out of the state. You did very well on that standpoint. But just in general, you have the port, you have the Cyber Research Center, you have BRF out there doing well. Again, the Amazon and the SBL or SLB. I'm having a senior moment here.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see growth in all those. And when you get growth in those areas through the multiplier effect, you're going to get growth in retail sales,
right,
professional services, and healthcare, et cetera.
Dr. Scott, your report also shows the whole state over the next 2 years is going to grow by 75,000 jobs. That's huge. What area is the big winner?
Well, the area that is, it depends. The biggest area that's going to win is along I-10 and below I-10. We have, if you look at the Lake Charles, the Baton Rouge, and the New Orleans metropolitan areas, we have almost $100 billion in projects under construction right now. We have another 120 that have announced but have not issued a final investment decision. They have not pulled the trigger. And I believe that many of them, which are in the same position Bahia is, if you like, are going to pull the trigger. So there's just going to be an amazing increase in construction activity along the Mississippi River and the Calcasieu Chip Channel. So those are really big growth areas for us. And I mentioned Monroe. We expect to have very good growth because of the Meta Center coming in there. The one area of the state that, well, there's got really kind of two areas of the state we're a bit worried about. One is the oil patch, the Lafayette and the Houma area. And the reason for that is, the price of oil has dropped from about 80 to 60, the low 60s now. And the rig count in the Gulf, which in just as early as 2014 was 60, is now down to 10. The Biden administration really set back activity in the Gulf a lot. And now the president, Trump, has done some really amazing things to help get it restarted again. The problem is the price. And that is that's going to be a real issue for Lafayette right now and for Houma as well. We're looking at Alexandria, which is where I was speaking yesterday. They're also kind of plugging along, but they have something similar to your bio. They have something called Beaver Lake, which is about a $2 billion project. And there's a lot of data center people that are talking to them about coming into their area. So they could really kickstart and do very well going forward. Now, I should mention here that another thing you should watch for where we're up here in the northwestern part of the state is I think you're going to see a resurgence in the Haynesville Shale. I think we're seeing, we're predicting the price of natural gas, going to go up into the $4 range because of all this demand being created by the chemical firms and the LNG export facilities coming in down on the coast. Haynesville Shale is the closest natural gas play to these facilities down there, much closer than the Permian Basin, for example. And so I think you're going to see a nice bump coming along with the rig count in the Haynesville Shale.
Dr. Scott, real quick, when you look at all of this economic news, so exciting, what do you attribute this kind of booming success to?
Well, the primary reason, one of the biggest drivers, is the fact that the price of natural gas in the United States is around $3.30. But the price of natural gas in Asia and Europe is closer to $12 per million BTU. So if you are BASF, for example, you're a chemical firm, BASF, and you want to make ammonia fertilizer, ammonia fertilizer is made out of natural gas. Natural gas is the feedstock. And you got a choice. Do I build this plant in Europe where I'm having to pay $12 per million BTU, or do I build it in Ascension Parish and pay $3 per million BTU? Mm-hmm. That's an easy answer, isn't it? You're going to build here. And so what is happening all over the world is that companies are chasing these cheap molecules, and these are humongous. I mentioned how big the billions in expansions, and the two places they are coming to is Louisiana, the South Louisiana, and South Texas, because you got a mass of pipelines down there bringing it the easy access to natural gas. You got the Calcasieu Ship Channel and the Mississippi River where deep draft ships can haul their stuff out to the rest of the world through the Gulf. And so those two places are just booming right now because of this one little price differential that exists out there. It is probably going to stay existing for quite some time. So that's one of the biggest booms right now, causes behind ours right now.
Dr. Scott, let me ask you one more thing before we let you go. The government shutdown, the president is threatening to lay off thousands, tens of thousands of federal workers. We have federal workers in Louisiana. How concerned are you about that?
I'm not real concerned about that because I know this is hard to believe, but since 1976, the government shut down 20 times, believe it or not. On the average, it's been shut down for 8 days. The longest was 34 days. That was during the Trump's first administration. So we've been through this before. If you kind of look at the stock market is not reacting in a big negative way. As a matter of fact, exactly the opposite of that. And I think in your particular case here in the Shreveport-Bossier area, the first thing you think about is Barksdale. But I think one of the things you find happening during these shutdowns is they take care of the military just like they take care of Social Security checks. So I'm not too worried about us. If I was in Virginia, if I was in the District of Columbia, I would be way more worried. I'm not too worried about Louisiana. By the way, Will Rogers had this great comment one time. He said, "We are lucky we don't get all the government that we pay for."
That's interesting, yeah.
So when you start worrying about the government shutdown, maybe you should think, maybe this is a blessing.
Yeah, you got a point.
Rush used to say, shut it down. They can't do any damage if they're not there.
Absolutely. Dr. Lauren Scott, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot of fun talking with you folks again.
Thank you so much. Coming up here in about 20 minutes or so, Stephen Jackson will be joining us talking about the mayor's proposed 2% fee hike on the water bill. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Real quick, got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Earlier, we were talking about how much Aaron loves hummus. And Ruben, yes. I say that sarcastically, but Ruben really does. And you said it tastes, it's kind of like wallpaper paste.
Dirt, yeah, mud.
And Ruben goes, you don't like paste? And Michael from Bossier says, non-paste-eating hummus lover here. Try roasted garlic or roasted red pepper hummus.
Okay.
Additional olive oil will help with the texture.
Yeah, that's okay. I always get the roasted garlic kind.
Okay.
It's very tasty, but, you know, don't do anything sociable after you eat it.
Right. Stephen Jackson going to join us. Oh, sorry. Join us after the news, bottom of the hour, talking about the mayor's proposed 2% fee on water bills. 1017 FM, 710 Kiel.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault proposing 2% fee on the Shreveport water bills. State Rep Stephen Jackson, he's not happy about it. Join the crowd. Hear what he's got to say coming up right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Kiel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
State Representative Stephen Jackson joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor Tom Arsenault proposing a 2% fee on our water bills. Let me read something. Here's an incredibly moronic idea. Make us pay extra for others' willful neglect instead of using it to actually upgrade the water system. Once torn down, I'm sure the surcharge will never roll off the bills. Stephen Jackson, tell us how you really feel. Are you there?
You should be here. You should be on the air. Everything's good here.
Can you hear us, Stephen? He says he can't hear us, Ruben. All right, go ahead and talk, Stephen. How do you really feel about the 2% surcharge? Why can't he hear us, Ruben? What's going on? You got everything punched in the right buttons?
Yeah. I hear he's there.
I hear him. That's weird. Stephen, you're completely opposed to the 2% surcharge. There you are. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, go ahead. Tell us how you feel about the surcharge.
Let me try calling him back.
Okay, we'll call him back. Oh, Lord. What's going on with these phones? He's going to call you right back. We'll see what happens.
Grace.
This is crazy.
Grace and Butcher also, I wanted to say illustrated, but brought out some very good points about a lot of people in his district don't have, with all the issues we've had with the water system over the years, this is probably isn't the best idea to tag more fees on the water system when you're not even looking to improve the water system.
Yes.
With the additional money.
I know I was at a restaurant the other night, and, you know, I always get water with my meal, and it just tasted muddy.
Right.
And I thought, you know, restaurants hate serving that. They hate putting it out. But when people want water, you typically get free water. So I can't understand how that's a good idea.
Well, there's got to be a better way to do it. And yeah. I understand trying to go, because a lot of the comments are like, well, go after the owners. Well, obviously they've tried.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the complexes are owned by the same owner.
Right.
And who's out of country.
Yes, exactly.
And can't even get in touch with him. So it's not easy, and then you're looking at a lot of legal fees and a lot of wrangling to try to, and then Mayor Arsenault said, even if we were to demolish the properties and sell the, once the property sells, if they don't get the money to cover what's owed to the bank, we're out of luck.
Yeah.
And then, and even if they do, how far down the line, how far down the list are we from the creditors that are going to be owed money? So
yeah,
it's just a tough situation all around.
It is a mess.
Well, something's wrong with our phones.
Okay, our phones have taken a dive.
Something horribly wrong with our phone. I don't know what it is. I'm going to try.
Okay. We will try to figure out what's going on. We're so sorry, Stephen Jackson. He was real adamant. He's real adamant about not supporting this, and he's not going to be alone. But my question would be for the city council members that are trying to run for re-election next year. You have several of them. This politically is not a good idea.
You're adding tax to something that's already unpopular.
Yes, and I got a text, I'm not going to say who it was from, but somebody close to government who says, quote, not sure who's advising the mayor, but this won't play well with a re-election campaign. And that's, you know, that's crazy.
But I like the point you made yesterday saying a politician wouldn't propose this because it would be considered political suicide.
Right, exactly.
And so the fact that Mayor Arsenault is proposing this, you said you felt like this is what he feels is best for the city.
Yeah, because
he's not looking out for, unlike Chuck Schumer, who is only looking out for Chuck Schumer and shut down the entire federal government. Mayor Arsenault says, look, this is what's best for the city. We need to get rid of this blight. And even Louis Avalone said blight costs a lot in the long run.
Right. And the problem with the blight problem, and this, if you haven't heard the mayor's explanation, the city has a bucket of money for demolition work. And you typically use that, you know, when houses burn, you've got to go in and demo them.
Right.
And if you take the apartment complexes and start using the demo money for those, he's going to be calling in, Ruben. He's going to call in and we'll try it that way. If you take that money and you use it to demolish apartment complexes, then you completely drain that demo fund because those apartment complexes will cost a lot more money to demolish. They're a lot more involved. Did he call in? Did you get him?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Thank goodness.
Wonderful. Okay. Rep. Stephen Jackson, real quick. Now, you said this is an incredibly moronic idea. Tell us how you really feel.
I didn't know before I posted that. I didn't know that was somebody was owning that idea. I just kind of saw it as, you know, how you see the post. I didn't see a link. I didn't know, and I usually try not to veer off into local business directly, you know. I try not to do that. So with all due respect to the mayor and the council, I didn't know. I thought this was more just a concept. I didn't know somebody actual proposal, but I don't agree with it. I will tell you that. And I know the state of Louisiana, we have all of our challenges, and so we have to deal with issues at the state level. But, you know, I represent Shreveport residents as well, and I can tell you that I think this is going to be a challenge for them, and I hope that there's some level of consideration given to that. I just don't know that it's fair.
My first thought, Stephen, was, why should I pay for your irresponsibility? That was what I thought. I'm concerned by that.
Right. Well, I agree. That's kind of where I'm going. Is I don't think that people who are doing the right thing should be responsible for bailing out the folks who have blatantly and willfully neglected their property. What would stop somebody else, you know, from just saying, well, you know, I'm just going to walk away from my responsibility. The city got this tax, or they got this fee, or they got this surcharge. Then I buy.
You know, I don't have to fool with this anymore.
I don't have to deal with this anymore. And so it becomes, you basically are setting up and you're incentivizing people to do the wrong thing. I think the city should, one, enforce the laws that we put on the books, which because we still haven't seen anybody be held responsible for the money that was stole from these other apartment complexes. If you look at what New Orleans is doing, New Orleans, they brought forth racketeering charges on real estate developers. And once you bring forth those racketeering charges, then you could go in, you could seize those properties, you could foreclose, you could do all kinds of things and sell those properties at that point.
But the mayor says that getting the demolishment money back from these people, you sit behind the mortgage company. So you're never going to get the money because the property's not going to be worth what the mortgage is out there on. That's a concern, I guess.
I agree. And that was something that I had to fight during my House Bill 6. But the city didn't come to the table to help me push that issue. They sat back and was passive on it. And the Bank Association, the State Bank Association, I had to strip that out of my bill. So if you go back and look at the original version that was filed in House Bill 6, I had a provision that would have allowed the city to go in and recoup that money.
And be first in line? Would the city be first in line?
The Bank Association was concerned that my provision would have allowed the city's lien to go in front of theirs. And so, when we were debating in session, the city, they submitted green cards, but nobody came to the table and willfully and pushed and really dug in and leaned in on my proposal. They submitted the green card and just kind of stayed out of the way of it. They were getting on TV saying, but we don't know that that's going to work. We don't know that that's going to be effective. But it was in the bill. If you go look at the original file version of House Bill 6, there was revision in there that would have allowed for that.
The mayor, another Stephen Jackson State Rep, another argument from the mayor is that we have a pile of money for demolitions, for like burned out houses and those kinds of things. And if we take that pile of money and use it on these apartment complexes, it's going to deplete that pile of money fast because the apartment complex demos will cost a lot of money. And so we need a different source of funding to take care of the apartments. Reserve fund, other options. Do you have any suggestions?
I mean, my style of public policy is you don't just sit back and say no to something. It's easy to just say no. Why not put a surcharge on adjudicated property sales or put a transfer fee on adjudicated property sales? That's something that people who are trying to do, you can put that there. I would not be putting this surcharge on every single water bill. I don't even know that you could do that. Water is an enterprise fund. I think you have to use water funds for water problems. This is not a water bill problem. It's not a water system problem. This is a demolition. This is a property standards problem at this point. And so I don't even know can that even happen the way water enterprises
interesting
enterprise funds are set up. And so I hadn't seen the proposal, full transparency. I hadn't seen the proposal. Didn't even know that this was the mayor's proposal. Be interested in hearing more about it. But I just don't think that this is a good idea right now. I live by myself. And what about that person, that senior who lives by his or herself? They're on fixed incomes. They're doing the right thing. They're paying the bill, but they're going to go pay for the neglect, willful neglect of property owners who just decide to walk away from their properties. Is that fair to the person who's doing right? Some will say, hey, indirectly, we're paying for it. Indirectly. Every time the fire department has to go out there, we're paying for it.
Right.
That's more of an indirect cost. To put a direct surcharge on the water bill, that's really hitting people in their pocket.
Stephen Jackson, let me ask you a political question then. We're heading into an election year for these municipal government elections. Do you see city council members who are up for re-election passing such a measure?
Look, if I was a campaign consultant and I was advising a candidate, I think this is something that could be this could be something that could become an issue. You know, people will feel this; they'll see this every month. And I don't know who advises the mayor. I'd be concerned. You know, like, did you really think this through? Because people are not really feeling. People are upset about their water system. People are upset about the smell and odor and taste of the water. If you were telling people, I think if you told people that this surcharge is going to fix that, they may be more amenable to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the ins and outs of the conversations were, but I just don't know that I would advise a political candidate to be in front of this. Interesting. But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, and we'll find out.
You bet. We'll stay in touch.
Steven Jackson.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be fine. I'll be tracking it to see. And I'm definitely going to try to figure out, can water surcharges or water fees be used for non-water projects? That's
an interesting point.
Very good point. Definitely.
Let us know what you find out.
Thank you, sir.
Glad
Thank
we connected. Sorry about the confusion.
Take care.
It's all good. Thank you. Have a great
day. State Rep. Steven Jackson, Micah McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Mikey Poo, I have a question for you.
Yes, love.
Did I just call you Mikey Poo?
That's quite all right. You've called me worse.
Yeah,
I'm happy
20
with
seconds
that.
Ago. Yeah
exactly.
You're going to go to the Revel this weekend. I probably will go to the Revel this weekend. What is something at the Revel that is you must eat, you must have? I'm at the Revel. I'm going to have X.
You know, it's changed so much over the years. Some of the things, like the pizzoletta.
Oh, that muffaletta pizza. Oh, yeah.
Looked forward to that every year, and now it doesn't seem to be available.
It's gone. You have to get it at St. Joe's.
And so that was one thing. Mm-hmm. I used to enjoy just getting some catfish.
Yes.
One of the booths had it, and I don't think they're there anymore.
Got to get a meat pie from the Zetas.
Okay.
That's a good stop. There is a catfish place down there. Chica was showing us. That's got a pretty good catfish dish. But are you a funnel cake guy?
Oh, why? Look at me. Aaron.
Because I love funnel cakes.
Well, yeah.
They're so good. And they get them hot and, oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Oh. I'm getting crazy about it right now. I'm thinking about it. It's the last weekend for the Revel. Open today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And then it's done.
We're definitely going. Tonight, my son and I are going to see Billy Bob Thornton. In the Box Tops. What is it? The
Not box, the Box Tops.
Box Masters.
sorry, Billy Bob.
It's a country / rock type band?
Rock, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
He's a weird little dude, but he's so talented.
He'll be so talented.
And then Opossum, Where Art Thou? Is playing at the Revel tomorrow night.
No,
they're not.
We're playing at Bears tomorrow night.
You are at Bears tomorrow night.
I'm trying to get you at the Revel. I'm sorry.
For the sausage party.
Wait. They have a sausage party?
Yes, it's going to be Aubrey and the Meat Sweats, Opossum, Where Art Thou, and the Amazing Sauce, who actually played last night at the Revel.
Oh, okay.
They are very, very good. You want to check them out. And what we've been saying is, opossum plus sauce equals meat sweats.
There you go. So what time do you take the stage about?
Aubrey and the Meat Sweats will be going on first at 9.
Okay.
So we're on second.
The show doesn't start until 9?
That's the kind of shows we play. We're not allowed to play any earlier than that.
I'm so old.
The police will arrest them. I know. Don't you feel old? 9 o'clock. Who can say I'm that late?
9 o'clock. Come on.
I'm in bed in my hat and my booties. That's funny.
Well, have a good show.
Hey, we'll do our best. It'll be a fun time.
Yes, absolutely. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too. Mm-hmm. Micah McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel.